I have been joined on the phone from Kent by Ingrid Stowe, who is my guest for this morning. We're going to be having a little chat about her book for the young children. So first up, good morning to you, Ingrid.
Good morning, Kerry.
How are you today?
Yes, I'm very well, thank you, on this lovely, bright, sunny morning.
It absolutely is, it absolutely is. Now, I've said to our lovely listeners that you're down in Kent, the garden of England and so on. So it's a big county, so whereabouts in Kent are you?
Whereabouts in Kent? I'm in a tiny village called Hunton, which is very close to Yording.
Okay.
Which is quite famous for its flooding.
Oh gosh, flooding. We don't want to get involved in that.
No, exactly.
And are you Kent born and bred?
No, I was born in Leicester, but I moved to Kent when I was four.
Oh, well, there we are. So we can say now, absolutely, you're fully signed up as a member of the Kent fraternity. So just tell us a little bit about your good self then, if you would, Ingrid, and your family and so on, and a little bit about your employment history. Makes it sound like it's an interview for a job, doesn't it?
Okay, well, I grew up in Kent. My mother was Danish.
Right.
So she used to read a lot of my books at an early age to try and improve her language.
Right, okay.
Particularly the Ina Blyton series.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was, after sort of going through schools, I went to college. And then I got a job as a commercial insurance underwriter. And I did that until I was married. And then I had two wonderful daughters. And then... after I had two lovely daughters, when the youngest was five, I then went to work as a dispenser for a medical centre.
Right.
And I did 17 wonderful years there.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like, obviously, a very important job, a medical dispenser. Clearly, you had to know about all your weights and measurements.
I did. Yes, I did. So, yeah. But no, it was a wonderful job,
right,
and I worked there until I retired.
Okay, and it was then, I think, after you retired then, that you got involved in doing a bit of voluntary work.
Which
sounds as though it opened the door then to what we're going to be talking about with regards to the book.
Well, I think it did. Yes, so it was a speech and language school.
Right.
Where they got children with severe speech and reading difficulties.
Okay.
So it was mainly for the infants up till about seven, but they carried on into the junior level as well.
Yeah.
And it was just sitting down reading with the children, helping them with their maths and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful place. And yes, it did sort of kind of lead on to where I am today.
What a wonderful opportunity it is, isn't it, for people in their slightly later years to think about giving something back to their local communities by getting involved in schools, who are specialising in areas like this. Because something which other people, with due respects, might take as just a very simple thing, like talking to children, youngish children, or, as we said, in this instance, perhaps children with learning issues. But, I mean, it can make such a difference.
Oh, it can make an incredible difference. And then it opens up so many avenues for children later in life once they can really, you know, grasp the speech and the language side of it.
And of course, sadly, we're living in a world where with all sorts of expenses being, you know, really squeezed, the involvement of a voluntary sector of people is going to become more and more important, isn't it, really?
Oh, it is, and especially after the pandemic as well, because people haven't had, they've been working full-time with their children at home, they probably haven't had time to sit down with them, and that's becoming noticeable in schools now. Their reading levels are deteriorating.
I mean, that's a really interesting and a very sad point, isn't it? That, I mean, you know, we're just talking about children in general, that there just seems to be these days, sadly, so little time for parents or grandparents to sit down and do those old-fashioned things like just sit with a book and talk and read with children.
Absolutely, yes, it is, yes.
So, you were able to do your bit, and is it something that you're still involved with now?
No, sadly not, because the pandemic came and volunteers weren't allowed into the school, sadly.
Right.
No, but I am going to go back into it because it was just a wonderful thing to do.
Excellent, excellent. So, obviously, you've mentioned your lovely daughters, and you're a grandma as well, I know.
I am.
So, let's lead on into the idea of the book. And obviously it was through one of your grandchildren that the idea came, I think, really.
It was, yeah. So it was my grandson, Zach. He used to come round our house when he was starting to speak. He started using the word bubble bubbles because we had a glass kettle.
Okay.
And he loved to be picked up and see all the bubbles going up and down in the kettle. And then he used to rush into our utility room to watch our washing machine going round and round with all the bubbles. Mm-hmm. So he started calling that bubble bubbles. And it became a routine that every time he came to our house, he went straight to the kettle, straight to the washing machine, asked to be picked up.
And
that's really where the idea came from.
And I mean, it's fascinating, isn't it? The things that obviously lodge in little children's minds at that sort of age, things like watching, you say, all the soap suds whishing around in the washing machine and so on. And I mean, obviously, having a see-through kettle as well. I mean, God, I mean, that really is exotic.
It was very exciting. And children at that age just love repetition. Sometimes it gets very tedious because you're repeating it again and again.
Yeah.
But they just love it. So, yes.
So how did that evolve then into the idea of sitting down and putting a book together?
Well, I started putting some rhyming sort of phrases together. And it really happened very quickly. I was sitting in the garden last year with my youngest daughter. And she said, oh, that's quite good. She said, why don't you write a book? And I thought, oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Right.
And I thought, oh, perhaps I could write a book. And I thought, oh, well, I'll start putting it together and then approaching some publishers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I love the way your daughter just said, oh, that's quite good. I mean, clearly, I mean, she wasn't going overboard, but it was obviously enough to give you a push to think, yeah, now maybe there is something in that.
Well, it was, and I thought, as she said, it was obviously high praise, so perhaps I ought to do it. She said, oh, you've got a bit of a talent there, so
there
I thought,
are.
I'll go for it.
So, obviously, I'm sure you probably trudged around, as it were, on the internet, looking for publishers and going from pillar to post, and no doubt probably had your fair share of people saying, thanks very much, but no, we don't think we can use it.
Yes, it is. It's quite a minefield because I wasn't quite sure whether I needed to go to a publisher or go self-publishing.
Right.
So, you know, having approached several people, the only people who came back were really interested was Jelly Bean Publishing or Candy Jar Publishing.
Indeed.
I mean, Sean Russell there, he was just so friendly and so welcoming and interested in what I had done.
Right.
Other publishers were only interested in taking your money and had no interest on reading your story.
Understood. So what was it about your book then that you thought, yeah, this really stands a good chance?
Yet again, the rhyming side of it, and repeating the word bubble bubbles throughout the book.
Yes.
That's what I thought stood a good chance. And the simplicity of it. The younger children don't need a great deal of detail. They just need enough that they can soak in, and then you can describe the pictures for them.
Okay.
And then talk about it further to expand their knowledge.
So the book has a little storyline, a little theme that takes the young children through?
Yes, it does. Yes. So it's all about a child, and a child appears on every page, exploring the bubbles everywhere in the house.
Okay.
Just normal things, the kettle, the saucepan, the sink, the bath, the washing machine, and outside.
Yes, yes. And presumably, obviously, with a book such as this that is aimed at very young children, you must have some nice illustrations in it.
Yes, I have got some wonderful illustrations.
And who's our man or woman who's done those for you?
A guy called Tom Birchall.
Right. Right.
So Candy Jar, Sean Russell actually gave me about five or six illustrators to choose from.
Yeah, yes.
But Tom Birchall was the kind of star that I was looking for.
Okay.
And I was not disappointed at all. They are really wonderful. And he's really captured the main character of the book. He's captured him as a little cheeky character. And I just love him.
Super, super. So what is the name of the main character in the book?
Well, he hasn't got a name. He just appears on every book with various forms of bubbles.
Well, that's fair enough. So we've said very much it's for children, literally, right, from sort of the word go up until what sort of age range would you say?
I would say three.
About three. Okay, fine. And what sort of response have you had from friends and family and people who've bought the book?
I've had great response. I've had, particularly my grandson. He was the first person who gave me a great response. I read it to him. And he's nearly three. He'll be three in December.
Right.
But he loved the book, and he asked me to read it again and again and again and again. And I thought, yes, that was exactly the audience I'm trying to attract.
Well, it's always good, isn't it, when you can use family members as guinea pigs for these things? Because, there's we always tend to say with children that there's no black or white. They either like something or they don't. They either laugh or they don't. So you know very quickly, don't you, whether you're on solid ground.
Oh, yes, you do. And I've had some other good reviews from other people as well who've been sending me videos and
lovely
to the children.
Super.
And they've loved it.
So when actually were you writing and putting this book together then?
I was putting this book together. So it really started sort of last summer.
Okay.
And I started approaching the publishers sort of probably from about January.
Right.
But it wasn't till June did I actually make up my mind to go with Jelly Bean Publishing.
Yes, yeah, so, fair enough.
And so within 3 months, fantastically, I had the book in my hand.
Wow. So, I mean, it all came together very, very quickly then, really.
It was very quick. Yes, it was. So I thought it was going to take like nearly a year, but no, not at all.
So, you've said that the response so far has been very, very good. Is it the sort of thing that you're going to try and get out and around and do some little readings in local libraries or in schools?
Oh, yes, definitely. That's one of my main places, libraries, nursery schools.
Yes, yeah.
And also a friend of mine, she is a vicar. And they're setting up a new thing in church. It's called Bubble Church.
Lovely.
Where lots of people get together and sit individually around a carpet, which they did in the pandemic.
Yes.
And they're going to read to their children. So using my book as an example for bubbles.
Right.
So that's going to be quite good as well.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you really couldn't have had a better response if you'd
not
literally tried to orchestrate it yourself.
Yes, exactly. And I also wanted to give back something to society, so I wanted to find a charity that I could have 10% of my book sales going to.
Yes.
And after sort of brainstorming with the family, we came up with the charity, the Bubble Foundation.
Right.
Which is based at the Great North Children's Hospital in Newcastle.
Right, okay.
And it's for children with defective immune systems, and when they're waiting for like bone marrow transplants, they're all put in a protective sterilized bubble.
Yeah
And I thought that was so apt, being the Bubble Foundation, with my book, The Bubble Bubbles.
Well, I mean, it was sort of made for it, wasn't it, really?
It absolutely was, absolutely.
And what a nice idea, as you say, then, to have the fun of being able to publish a book and then also do a little bit of good, apart from spreading the good, obviously, of the book itself, to be able to give a little bit of money to clearly what is a very, very worthy cause.
Absolutely. I mean, we've been lucky to have healthy children, healthy grandchildren. So that's why I wanted to give something back.
Super. So tell me then, Ingrid, there we are. Bubble Bubbles is there. It's for people to buy.
It is.
Where can they find it?
Well, they can find it on Etsy.
Yeah.
So all they need to do is look up Ingrid Stowe Books.
Yes.
.etsy.com.
Right. Lovely.
And also they can also follow me on Instagram. Under Stowe Ingrid.
Stowe Ingrid, right.
Very good. Excuse the pun with Ingrid.
Yeah, no, well, that's good. So what about the future then? I mean, having now got this one up and running in pretty short order, are there plans for any follow-up books?
Well, there will be. It depends what my second grandson, he's only 6 months old, it depends what he says. And then there'll probably be a follow-up.
That's lovely. Well, I mean, it sounds to me as though really it's all fallen into place beautifully with the help of Sean at Candy Jar and Jelly Bean Publishing. And I mean, it's great because obviously, as you alluded to a little bit earlier on, when first-time authors are out there looking for somebody to publish, very often they will say, well, yes, we can publish, but, you know, it will cost you some money to have whatever it is, 50 or 100 books printed up and what have you. But it's really nice that Sean could see the value clearly in the work that you've done and was happy to pick the ball up and run with it.
Well, exactly. I just didn't get that experience at all from any other publishers.
Right. Yes, well, so, yes. There we are.
He was certainly great.
A big thumbs up once again to our chums here on Newport Road in Cardiff at Jelly Bean and Candy Jar Publishing. Well, it's been really fascinating, Ingrid, as I say, chatting to you and hearing all about the book. It sounds to me, as I say, though it could be a really, really good present for the kids at Christmas or the grandchildren. So I'm sure you'd probably agree that, oh yes, people need to buy it in their
definitely.
Droves.
Oh yes, definitely. It would be a wonderful present for everybody, yes.
Excellent, excellent. Well, and I think the fact that, you know, you've been able to get out and about and do a few readings and so on, clearly, as we said earlier again, you're going to see the response from the children straight off, aren't you? And I mean, once you've got them hooked in.
Oh yes, and it's tough to see their faces and their expressions and how they receive it, yes.
And it's lovely because it is something that is around people all day if they think about it, as we said, with the bubbles in the washing up bowl or the, you know, in the bath, in the, as you say, in the washing machine. So something very simple,
but it
catches little children's imagination straight away, doesn't it, with a little
story
to hook it in.
Simple but effective.
That's fabulous. Well, Ingrid, thank you so much, as I say, for joining us. And
yes, it's a pleasure.
I look forward to the chance of having another chat, maybe in the future when you have another plan
yes.
on the stocks, another book
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely, wonderful.